So, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. Many of us have watched the ITV drama this past week. This coming week, the inquiry resumes in the UK into the Post Office's role in the wrongful prosecutions, including many convictions, of more than 900 of Britain's sub-postmasters, the men and women who ran the Post Office branches. 3,500 all up were wrongly accused at some point. Hundreds of lives were ruined by allegations of financial misappropriation. Four people killed themselves. The failure of a computer system called Horizon was denied. People are still owed money for often large sums that they had to pay the Post Office for account discrepancies that were none of their doing. Some of their real-life stories will be featured tonight on TV One in Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, The Real Story. Mr. Bates is Alan Bates, played in the miniseries by Toby Jones.
They say money's somehow gone missing from this branch, which it hasn't, and I have to pay it back.
So I say, prove it. Prove that I'm wrong and you're right. Show me the figures. But they can't or won't do that.
Alan.
So now they want to close me down to shut me up.
That's ridiculous.
Because they don't want everyone knowing what I know.
Which is?
That the fancy new computer system that they've spent an arm and a leg on is faulty.
In the UK, it's been reported by Channel 4 this past week that the boss of the British Post Office, Paula Venables, was briefed on allegations that sub-postmasters could have had their online accounts changed by a covert operations team in the basement of the Fujitsu headquarters. Fujitsu supplied the computer system. That claim was at the heart of the scandal. The inquiry has already heard that 25 Fujitsu staff did, it's claimed, have privileged access to their live computer system. In the miniseries, supposed accounting shortfalls grow unaccountably in front of people's eyes. Alan Bates, the man whose doggedness led to triumph in the British High Court, is still owed his money. These days, he and his partner Suzanne live in a small Welsh coastal village, Colwyn Bay. Good morning, Alan. Thank you for being able to join us.
You're welcome.
What are you hoping will come out of this next phase of the inquiry that's about to resume, please?
Well, funnily enough, I'm actually the opening act for the next phase of the inquiry. I'm on Tuesday when it sits again. But I think the inquiry is important and it's taking a long time to go through. But I'm still concerned with getting hold of the money for the victims in all of this. That, you know, they've been waiting almost 20 years for this to be over.
And of the original 555 sub-postmasters who brought the court case, how many have died since, actually?
I have a feeling it's round about 70 or 70-something. The latest one I heard from the wife of about a week or so ago. His whole life had changed. He'd become an alcoholic. He'd suffered from depression. And his wife said for the last few years, you know, it just wasn't him. It wasn't the person she knew.
There are so many dreadful stories. How many sub-postmasters are still waiting for compensation and redress? Do we know the figures on that?
There are a number of schemes going, but I'm involved or still chasing for the original GLO group, the group litigation ones, the ones that brought the court case, the 555 of those. I mean, 60 of those did have prosecutions and they've gone on a separate direction. But the other 490-odd, well, we're still trying to obtain our financial redress. Although I do know that some of what they might call the low-hanging fruit, the lower amounts, are now starting to see resolution in their cases. So, there's a small amount that are coming through, but we keep chasing for the rest.
And one more question along these lines. Do we know how many convictions have and haven't been overturned?
Well, I think just under 1,000 people, I think, in total were prosecuted by the time you take in the prosecutions in Scotland and those in Northern Ireland. I think only around about 100 have had their convictions overturned. But the big problem with those who did receive convictions is many of them aren't coming forward. And that's the really odd and strange thing about it. Huge amount of publicity, and obviously the drama's helped. But, I mean, there's only a small amount, a few extras, 20 or so, I think, have come about since the drama's shown. So there's still a lot out there to come forward.
What do you attribute that to, Alan? Is it just a degree of trauma? That's puzzling, isn't it?
I think, over the years, we've had to encourage many of the victims, even in the group I'm with, to stay involved with it. As you say, trauma has been absolutely horrific for them. And many people want to just put these things behind them and move on with their lives. And you can totally understand it. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be a quick process to try and get everything overturned and to obtain the money that you're actually owed.
Yes, actually owed is the phrase, isn't it? You're still waiting on your own money, aren't you? I mean, what have you and Suzanne lost? It's covered briefly in the drama, but the two of you had your lives completely upended.
Yeah, it's strange, really, but you don't think about it at the time. I mean, would I have done now what I'd done then if I had known what it was going to be like now or how long it would take? And well, the answer is certainly no, I wouldn't have. But I mean it was a grind that we carried on with day after day, and you just didn't realize how much time had passed because you just kept hearing all these awful stories from people, and you just couldn't put it down. You couldn't let it go.
No holiday in 11 years, I read of you.
Very few. We did a bit of camping, stuff like that. But I mean, it was probably longer than that. I mean, Suzanne renewed her passport a few months ago, and it was a 10-year passport, and it hadn't been used in the previous 10 years ever. She was quite laugh, but we're hoping to make up for it now.
I think the house you live in, were forced to move into, was glamorized a little bit in the ITV drama. I know you have a cat, but there's not much room to swing a cat in there.
But the actual place we live in is slightly smaller than the place it's shown in the drama. And every time anyone asks me about that, I say, yes, we also own the mountains and the lake nearby. Do come up for afternoon tea sometime. It's quite deep in Snowdonia. I know it well, the area. But no, we do not live there. Slightly more humble.
Why has justice been stalled in the corridors of Whitehall now? I mean, Rishi Sunak's made assurances. Do you have any clear idea of the delay?
Everyone, to me, is hiding behind the inquiry. Every time anyone's asked to make comment or moving forward on a different front, the answer's always, let's wait for the public inquiry to finish and then we'll take it from there. But I think that certainly now, in the last week or so, the demand is growing for a call for police to start serious investigations into what's been going on by a number of people associated with Post Office and Fujitsu. But I mean, over the years, we've been up against a major organization which has now been proven to have lied, been cheating, destroying documents. I mean, and they've been lying to MPs, they've been lying to the media. It's been diabolical what they've got away with. But it's coming back to haunt them at long last.
At long last, though. The hearings already heard that the Fujitsu employees feared they'd be hauled over the coals when they found out that sub-postmasters were being criminally investigated using manipulated audit data. That I think that's correct. It still doesn't solve the mystery of what actually happened and who's primarily to blame, though, Alan.
I think a lot of senior people knew from quite an early stage about what about the faults that there were in the system. And I think too many people were trying to cover their backs and look after their jobs and their bonuses and everything else along the way. And I think events overtook them in the end. They'd lied for so long that they just had to carry on lying, and they just dug themselves a deeper and deeper hole.
Yeah, I mean, we possibly infer, rightly or wrongly, that the problem began at Fujitsu with the software, and that the post office maybe acted at first through ignorance of that. And as you say, the disaster snowballed and nobody could actually begin to say, oh, hold the horses and take a closer look.
Yeah, I mean, but there were opportunities along the way. You know, before we got to the court case, we had a number of schemes, or tried to run a number of schemes with post office. But they never came forward with the truth. They still kept hiding everything. They still kept redacting all the documents. I mean, disclosure was almost non-existent from their files. It was, if they'd have stood up in the early days and say, look, we know these systems go wrong, let's see what we can do to put it right for people, life would have been a lot easier for everyone, and so many more people would have got their lives back.
Yeah, I mean, the big question we all have in our minds, which has never been answered, is why the top people in the post office thought that hundreds of its sub-postmasters were stealing from them after a new computer had been installed. I mean, you would think they must have put two and two together. Someone around that top table must have, and early on as well, you would think.
Now, you think that, but I mean, I think they used the system to justify their increase in prosecutions, because up until the time that the Horizon system was installed, I mean, they were doing a handful of prosecutions a year. Once Horizon came along, it averaged one a week. And I think what was happening is the investigators were saying, oh, well, this wonderful system is exposing all these people who've been fiddling us over the years. And I think that's how they justified it to themselves.
And yet you have to believe, in justifying that to yourself, that hundreds and hundreds of crooks were running post office branches. I mean, it seems absurd to reach that conclusion. In fact, do you think they did think that? But if not, then what are we left with? Just institutional stubbornness, intransigence? Is that how you'd describe it?
Arrogance and ignorance, really. I don't think they understood, and I don't think they had the technical expertise to bring in such a huge system. And I think they were also extremely arrogant because they had the money and they felt they wanted to control the narrative the whole time because of that and the power. And they were the ones that were briefing the MPs. But there was another fundamental flaw in their thinking, and that became evident a lot earlier on. I'm perfectly aware of when one of the investigators working for one of the prosecuted sub-postmasters and their lawyer met up with one of the post office investigators. And the post office investigator was asked, well, you know, you're looking into all of this missing money and all the rest of it. Don't you ever look at the Horizon system? And that might have been wrong. And their response was, oh, we're instructed never to look at the Horizon system as being a potential problem. So, you know, with that mindset, it's not surprising they carried on prosecuting people.
I understand, but that's incredibly baffling to this day, isn't it? That's baffling.
Oh, it is. Yeah, totally. Totally.
You know, just getting back to the payments quickly, I think people who weren't that familiar with the whole saga around the world thought that these were maybe payments that have been promised for psychological distress and something, and so on. But this is actually money owed to you personally, and to all these people, their own money spent, often beggaring themselves in the process, you know, to avoid jail in a number of cases. That's the money owed, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, this is money that they are due, as you say. It's owed. It's for, when you get into lawyer speak, it's for heads of losses. You know, it's the actual cash they've lost. It's their houses they've lost. It's their businesses they've lost. It's their loss of income. And, you know, it's the cost of a bankruptcy. It's all these things added up to put all those right. And that's what the financial redress is for, is to put them back in the position they should have been in if this hadn't happened to them. Nothing more.
All those years ago. So, yeah. Forgive me telling you your own history to yourself, but so back in 1998, you buy the Clandidno Post Office, and I shan't ask you to go over all the history again, but you buy the post office, the Horizon systems introduced. By the end of 2000, the unexplained losses start appearing. You were a scrupulous keeper of accounts. We see people in the TV drama who weren't as savvy as you. In 2003, they give you the flick. You lost £65,000, your whole investment, you had no income, and your fight for justice took pretty much all your time, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I had a number of part-time jobs, you have to, you know. But we were fortunate that we bought quite a large property when we first went into it, and even though post office was taken away, we still had the other side of the other retail side of our business, which we ran for a few years whilst we tried to redevelop the whole property. But we failed to get planning, so we sold the business. But we were fortunate enough to come out with enough to to buy outright a small property for ourselves. So we didn't have that cost hanging over our heads for the years to come. But we still had to live. And we both had basic jobs, if you like, but also I went back to college to do more on computers and computer sciences and stuff of that sort, which was very useful going forward. I'd already got a basic understanding, but it did help, as I say, once we started to get into court and on the technical aspects of all of this.
Yes, I'm sure. And not signing off on your supposed shortfalls, you wouldn't sign off. That saved you from prosecution, didn't it?
I don't know whether it. Yeah, well, it did. I wasn't prosecuted in there. I mean, what I used to say to them, I used to put in writing, was that would they guarantee the system was 100% accurate? They would never respond to that. And I used to say to them, well, look, I mean, they used to quote this clause to me that I was responsible for all losses for myself and all my employees, regardless of how they happened. And I used to say, that's fair enough, but I want full access to all the data that I or my employees put into that system. And we didn't have it. So if I couldn't get hold of it, how could I check it? There were very limited reports that Horizon system was able to produce.
But it could have produced more. That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you could have been told more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd work with sort of EPOS, electronic point of sales, and, you know, these sorts of systems before we got the post office and we took it on board. And I knew perfectly well, you know, how much you could interrogate these systems and the type of report writer packages that could be put on them. But it didn't come with anything like that. I mean, it was very, very basic in some of its aspects, and it was also complicated and stuffed in many of the others as well. It was a very poorly designed system right from the outset.
In the middle of all this, although we see Toby Jones playing you as imperturbable, and I think in real life you're a pretty calm and measured bloke, your lives must have been absolutely devastated. Did you ever think you might not win?
I just thought, oh, well, there's a different challenge tomorrow. You know, no, I mean, we just can't. There was a point, I suppose, perhaps in 2015, when we were looking for a legal firm to support us going forward. We'd had a couple of false starts there. And I was starting to think, well, maybe if we haven't found anybody by Christmas, maybe it's time to knock it all on the head. We've done everything we can. But fortunately, we did find someone.
You did find someone, and your group of 5,555 claimants won £8,000 each in the High Court. when a judge ruled the Horizon system was faulty. But that's nothing, is it? I mean, you'd triumphed and you'd got nothing really financially. I mean, did you and Suzanne at least go out for dinner? Do you remember?
Possibly, but I mean, I just felt it's another day. We've got to move on with this and we've got to keep battling on. I mean, the big thing is about all of this, when we set off, it's like it said in the drama, we were out to expose the truth, because with the truth, there was a lot more we could do, which, as you see, convictions have been overturned. People are starting to get money back, a whole host of things that happened. But we had to get this truth out. And that's why we had to borrow so much money from funders in there. And that's why we didn't receive a lot of money at the end of the day. But we had the truth. And we had some really good judgments by the courts. And that helped everybody moving forward. It's just unfortunate it's taking so long now to try and close the issue for so many of the original victims.
Yeah, I understand. You don't seem bitter. You've never seemed bitter. Why not?
Well, there's no point, is there? I mean, you've got to deal with tomorrow. And if you start getting angry and, sort of wound up by the whole thing, it doesn't help you, does it? You've got to keep thinking about things. You've got to, structure these things. You've got to move forward. And, when you've got a big group of people, if you start running around going, pulling your hair out and all the rest, it doesn't help anybody, does it?
No. But if it hadn't been for Alan Bates versus the Post Office on TV, this saga might be destined to go on and on. I mean, the powers that be have at last got the hurry up, do you think?
Yeah, I think they got the hurry up. But, I mean, we were quite a long way down the road. The government had agreed that they were going to provide financial redress to the original group, and there's an enormous amount of pressure cross-party from government now, from the politicians in there, and they really are sitting on top of this. They wouldn't have got away with it even without the drama, but the drama really has helped. And though it doesn't tell, if you like, the story of 20 odd years of campaigning so well, I think it really gets over extremely well the suffering and the misery that this major government organization got away with, as I say, through ignorance and arrogance. It's all coming out now in the inquiry, which is great.
Yeah, but the suffering's been enormous. You know, here in New Zealand, we've had highly publicised examples of computer systems in government departments that didn't do the job. And it's embarrassing, maybe a couple of heads roll, I can't remember. But people understand that they just expect these things to be fixed. Do you think that this was a public relations strategy that just went really badly wrong, past the point of no return? They could have walked everything back with an apology, with compensation much earlier. Was that just too awful for them to contemplate?
Yeah, I think they just went too far with it and they couldn't dig themselves out of the hole. And I think they just decided to keep that front up the whole time, which was mad, absolutely mad, because everyone knows these things go wrong. And all we want to do is try and sort it out. But when they take that sort of position, all we could do in the end, after many years, is get them into court. And we managed to do that. And at that point, the truth was starting to be exposed.
When you hear them talk in these new internal conversations that your Channel 4 over there has got hold of, the language is quite careful. But the need to make the MPs inquiring into the scandal go away is stressed. It sort of seems the image, the brand, was everything, despite the enormity of the tragedy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the brand, very much. It was all about protecting the brand. There was no doubts on that. I mean, a number of these post office people, if you'd have snapped them in half like a stick of rock, you'd have found post office right through the core of them. Everything was done to protect the brand. But which is a shame. But a lot of these people had only had experience of working for post office. They'd started on the ground floor, almost, you know, on the counter in a post office, and worked their way all the way up, slowly dead man's shoes, all the way through this organisation. And there was very little fresh blood in the organisation in those days. And they just carried on doing what had been done before. And that was a shame. And that was a mistake.
Alan Bates is talking to us, quoting from the Telegraph. Bates shows that an ordinary person acting with courage, dignity and a sense of humour in the face of adversity can resonate with millions. What did you think of Toby's performance, by the way, can I ask?
I like Toby. I think he's got a mischievous sense of humour, a bit like myself, if truth be told. I met him, you know, a few times throughout all of this. And I've got to be careful what I say. I do have one complaint about the drama and Toby. And I don't think it was Toby's fault. It was the production company. They kept on showing him in like a wind sheeter going to Parliament and all these meetings with a jumper and a you know, and all the rest of it. I never once went to Parliament. I won't go in a suit or a jacket and tie. You know, it was a bit too casual, I think, at times.
I understand. Other things puzzle us. Why CEO Paula Venables was given the CBE in 2019? Because presumably so much was known by then about what had gone on under her watch.
Yeah, we all wonder about that. But fortunately, the nation spoke, didn't they? And there was 1.5 million people signed up to have it removed from her in a week. And it was she eventually, I think, saw the light and decided to hand it back. I mean, she got that for services to post office. What services had she actually provided apart from wrecking a major national institution that was cherished by everyone?
You turned down an OBE for your work in all of this. Why did you decline?
Because Paula Venables had a CBE, and I felt it was a bit of an insult, not only to the honours system, but also to myself. I mean, you know, if I accepted it, it would have been on behalf of the group, and the group certainly would not have appreciated me taking something like that when Paula Venables still had this CBE for services to post office. I mean, what services then?
Do you want to see post office people, perhaps those in Fujitsu as well, brought to book? Do you think they will be now?
I certainly hope they will. You know, as we know, so many people have died along the way and so many lives have been ruined, let alone the costs, the money involved in all of this, and billions, I think, by the bill will be at the end of the day. But unless the authorities actually act at the end of this and start a full investigation into these people with a potential to bring charges, I am reasonably certain, or I have almost no doubt, that we will look at bringing private prosecutions ourselves in a number of cases.
Kevin Hollenrake, the Conservative minister, said that there was evidence of not only incompetence but malevolence in many of the prosecutions. This is the most dismaying aspect of the whole affair, isn't it? It goes beyond brand, well beyond brand protection into another area, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's an awful lot of nastiness in there. And there was a lot of sending out messages to the rest of the network, you know, do as you're told, don't question what we tell you, you know, and all the rest of it. And it's to keep everybody, you know, kowtow to them. And a lot of that is starting to appear now in the inquiry.
I saw in the London Times that your local publican says you'll never have to buy a pint in his pub again. But the reporter said the local postman reckoned you didn't live around there.
don't you worry. It's all very... The village are very good at looking after us. I mean, we've had a huge amount of press coverage over a period. Certainly once the drama first aired. I mean, it was one TV crew in, another one out. It was like that for a number of days. But yeah, it's quite and I think actually postmen aren't allowed to in this country to tell others where you live and things
Right.
like that. But anyway, our local pub, they're very good. The White Lion in Llanelian, if you happen to be passing, they know my favourite beer is something called, it's a local Welsh brewery called Purple Moose, and I love their elderflower ale, and the brewery know that, and so the brewery have provided the pub with my beer anytime I want, free of charge. I only wish they'd done that 40 years ago. I'd have given them a run for their money.
Really funny. So Richard Branson's offered you a free trip to his private island in the Caribbean. Is Suzanne gonna, is she brushing up her passport for that?
Oh yeah, we're all set, we're all booked, don't you worry, we're going.
Which is fantastic. And there is a time, but you're still owed the money. Is there a time when you'll be able to
Oh,
properly get on with your life, live in the place you want to live in, all those things?
yeah. I'd like to think so. I keep thinking we're getting closer and closer and closer to it, but I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking that for so many years now. I think it will happen one day, but I don't ask me when.
It's been great to talk to you. It really was Alan Bates versus the Post Office. I know everybody came on board, all those lovely people who helped you. But still, it was Alan Bates versus the Post Office. Nothing probably would have happened in the end without you. That's fair, isn't it?
Wonder about that, whether someone else would have picked up the cudgel and carried on with the whole thing. And then I think about all the years and all the different stages and what you had to do and all the rest of it. I'm sure someone would have.
You're modest as well with all your other virtues, Alan. Very nice to speak with you. A pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for being able to join us.
You're welcome.
Alan Bates on RNZ National Sunday Morning. Where's the alleged stolen money? A number of you are asking. I noticed those texts come in. Well, the supposition, and I think this was mentioned in the mini series, is that it was somehow absorbed into profit figures, but I don't know if anyone knows.